I've got a message on mercy. And I'll be preaching with the help of the Lord from the book of Jonah. Strange place to bring a message on mercy in. I just was looking at something, thinking about something, and God, I tell you, he's amazing. And I'm thankful that John Newton penned down the words to that wonderful song, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. I know that John Newton must have had the same experience I had, because the second verse of that song said it was grace that taught my heart how to fear. And then it was grace that released that fear. Only grace, only God can do that. What else in the world can make you afraid and not afraid at the same time? I want to tell you something. That's just nothing but God. But in Jonah chapter number 1, and I want to start reading tonight verse number 12. And the Bible said, and he said unto them, take me and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. I want to tell you something tonight. If you don't live your life for Jesus, you'll bring great problems on your family and your friends and your acquaintances and those around you. Jonah understood that. He said, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous unto them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word tonight. Thank you for the wonderful singing. Thank you, Lord, for your presence here this evening. God, I ask you, Lord, just to bless in the message. Lord, give us strength. And God, just help us tonight to be able to preach what you've laid on our heart. God, be with us this evening, Lord. I just ask you to help each one of us to realize and understand the great mercy of our great God. Lord God, I thank you tonight for your love, your mercy, your kindness. Just be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible teaches us here in the book of Jonah that God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach to those people. And Jonah got on a ship headed towards Tarsus. Now, I don't know why people are like that, but we oftentimes don't do what God said do. We do what we want to do instead. And no matter what the reason was, some people say Jonah was a backslid preacher. Well, obviously he was, because if you're not doing what God wants you to do, then I say you're backslid. You say, well, I'm just taking a break. I heard one man said, I'm taking a vacation from church. No, you're backslid. Either that or you just plumb lost. I mean, one or the other. But God is not something you take a vacation from. God is not something that you want to back up from and take a rest from. He's something that you want to get closer to as your life goes on. I tell you, every day we ought to want to get closer to the Lord. Every day with Jesus should be sweeter than the day before. But Jonah got his instructions from God to go down to Nineveh. And Jonah later, he said, Lord, I know that I'd come down here and preach to them. You'd forgive them and all that. That's no excuse to not do what God said for you to do. Just because you think you understand and know what the outcome's going to be. We don't know anything. God knows everything and we know practically nothing. But Jonah got on this ship and he went down inside the ship and he went to sleep. And the storm came and the ship people, the masters of the ship, they started telling everybody, call on your God and we need to pray and we need to seek the Lord. And they began to call on their God. They began to do everything that they could do to try to save the ship and save the lives of the people. And they finally went down and found Jonah down in there asleep. And they woke him up and told him to call out on his God. And so Jonah got up and he didn't figure there was any point in calling on God. He already knew what the problem was. And I tell you something, when you get a sin in your life, when you have problems in your life, and you got things in your heart that don't belong there, most of the time, the last thing that the person that you want to talk to is God. You don't want to do that. And so Jonah, I don't even find word that he ever prayed. He never called on God. He didn't have to. He said, I tell you what you do. Take me and throw me into the sea because I'm your problem. And so sometimes we might find ourselves in that situation. I've had times in my life, especially as a young man, I've had times when that I'd get something in my heart and my life that I shouldn't be there, and I knew I needed to go talk to God about it, but that's the last place I wanted to go. I'd go talk to anybody, but don't make me go talk to God. The Bible said to let us boldly approach the throne of mercy. That's the last place I wanted to go. I didn't want to go there. You know why? What? Listen, God is merciful. God is good, but I'm not. And I knew if I went and told God what I did, I knew that He would forgive me, and I knew that everything would be all right. But I also knew that deep down in my heart, I wasn't going to be able to forgive me. I listened so many times, we let things drag us down. And that's where Jonah was. They said, call on your God. He said, you might as well just throw me overboard because I'm your problem and it's not going to go away until you get rid of me. And the Bible said that they didn't want to do that. They rowed on the ship. They tried to bring it to land. They tried everything that they could think of to try to get that ship landed someplace. But they just couldn't do it. It just kept getting worse because, listen, it wasn't God's plan for them to dock that ship. It was God's plan to get Jonah overboard. It was God's plan for Jonah to pay the price for the sin that he committed. I want to tell you something tonight, church. If we get out and you do things that is unlawful to God, you do things that's sinful to God, you do things that's against God's will, don't you ever do it and say, I'm going to get by with it. You will not get by with it. You may say, boy, it's been a week now and nothing's happened. You just hang on. It ain't been. Listen, payday is coming someday. And you just hang on because God, is a song we used to sing a little bit, God's going to get you for that. He knows exactly where you are, what you did, why you did it. And I'm telling you something, He's just waiting and He will get you. Yep. Jonah's on this ship going to Tarshish and he thinks everything's okay. Then all of a sudden he realizes everything's not okay. The sea is as boisterous and tempestuous, and the ship's tossed, and the people have thrown everything overboard that they can to try to lighten the ship. And the only thing they needed to throw overboard to start with was Jonah, and they could have kept everything else, but they tried their best. Listen, you can try as you may, but you'll never make it to Calvary. You'll never make it to heaven without Jesus. I don't care what you do. You can try to lighten your ship. You can lighten your load. You can throw things away. You can take things on. You can do ever what you want to do, but you'll never make heaven without Jesus. Amen. Can't do it on yourself, not in a man to save yourself. But God was merciful. God showed mercy to Jonah. Even then, you say, well, casting him in the sea wasn't too merciful. No, but now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. That's pretty merciful compared to being at the bottom of the sea drowned. You see, God could have just said, okay, enough of you, Jonah, and just thrown him away and said, I'm done with him. He's never going to do what I said to do. Jonah's never going to work for me. Jonah's never going to be my servant. And I'm just going to get rid of him. God could have done that. But listen, those men threw Jonah overboard. I wonder sometimes that when they saw Jonah hit the water, did they see that great fish? And the Bible said in Matthew calls it a whale. Did they see that whale come up and open its mouth and swallow Jonah down in there? Scientists and biologists and marine biologists and all these people today say a whale can't swallow a man. My Bible says a whale can swallow a man. And I'm going to take what the Bible said over what science says every day. I tell you something, the average whale might not swallow a man. But you see, the Bible said that God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. God already had this thing under control. He knew exactly what he was going to do. And so Jonah got cast into the sea. And the Bible said that this fish or this whale came up and swallowed him. And after that, 3 days and three nights was Jonah down in the belly of that fish. That's the mercy of God. Why is God so merciful? Preacher, would you like to be 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale? No, I think I'll just do what God said to do and skip all that stuff. But it's still better than being at the bottom of the sea and being shark bait. You know, but because something's going to happen to you. And God, this was God's way of giving Jonah a space of repentance. God will give you a chance to repent of your sin. He will make a way for you to have a way to get back to Him if you're willing and you want to come to Him. He will give you an opportunity to come back and get things right with Him. That's just God's mercy. When God saw man in the book of Genesis over there in about the sixth chapter, and He said everything that man thought of was just continually evil, and He said, I'm going to destroy man. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God gave a space of somewhere between 100 and 120 years for man to repent. But man didn't repent. He gave Jonah a job to do, to build this ark that for the saving of his household. And I believe that anybody who had wanted to come into that ark had the opportunity to come in. They could have come in. They should have come in, but they didn't come in. God's mercy, God's hand of mercy was extended out to this world, and they thumbed their nose at it just like they always do. But here's Jonah down here in the belly of this fish. 3 days and three nights. You know something? A backslid preacher, if that's the way you want to call him, A man of God, he was a prophet of God, that God told him, go over here and preach to these people. And he said, I don't want to do that, and I'm not going to do that, and you can't make me do that. Well, we found out that by the end of Jonah, God can make you do a lot of things you didn't want to do.
Amen.
I'd rather just give up and do it, start with, and not have to go through all the trouble. God's got a way of getting your attention. So we've got a backslid preacher here. Not used for much, is he? I mean, really, Jonah, he's not fit for anything at this point in time. He may be a prophet of God. He may be a good prophet. May have been. He may be a good preacher. Maybe that's why God wanted him to go. He may have had that anointing on him. Maybe that's why God wanted him to go. I don't know what. I don't know why God chose Jonah. But I want to tell you something. Jonah should have chose God and just went and done what God said to do. He could have bypassed a whole lot of heartache.
Amen.
But while Jonah's down here in the belly of this fish, this is a setup. I was thinking the other day, this backslid preacher, it ain't fit for nothing. And I tell you, if you're backslid today, you're not fit for anything. Brother Woody's all time saying, if you're not going to live for God, don't tell people you're a member of Forest Dell Baptist Church. I tell you, if you tell people you're a member of this church, I hope that you're living right. I hope you're letting your light shine, because this church is only as good as its worst member. And I hope that everybody does the best they can. I'm not expecting you to be perfect by any means, because I'm certainly not. But I tell you, we still are to do the best we can. But here's a backslid preacher laying down in the belly of a whale, wrapped up in seaweed, tangled up in all this mess that's in a whale's belly. I used to, as a kid, I thought, boy, that'd be a fun ride. And the older I get, I realize that would not be a ride I wanted to go on. There's a whole lot of things I'd rather do than be in the stomach of a whale for 3 days and three nights. Man, I want to tell you something. I believe one place said he was in the belly of hell. And that's about where you are. But you know something? When Jesus, over in the gospel, said, y'all seek for a sign, but there'll never be a sign given except the sign of Jonah. The sign of a backslid preacher that not fit for anything. And now in the book of Matthew, I guess, he's using Jonah as an example. He said the only sign going to be given is the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, Jesus being the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. He compared the Son of God to this backslid preacher. How'd he do that? Why'd he do that? I'm going to tell you something. That's just a marvelous mercy of God that he would even mention Jonah in the same sentence with Jesus. That just amazes me. I saw this and I said, man, that's just amazing that he would even mention Jonah along with Jesus. But he did. I'm going to tell you something. God's mercy is forever.
Amen.
God is a merciful God, and I'm so glad He is. Because He showed me mercy when I didn't deserve it. I've never deserved God's mercy.
Amen.
John 3:16 said, for God so loved this world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen, God's merciful to man, but not because we deserve God's mercy. It's not because of our righteousness, not because of any good that I did, that God showed me mercy that night a long time ago. It wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of my mom and dad. It wasn't because of my grandparents. It was because that Jesus showed mercy nearly 2,000 years ago when He hung on the cross, suspended between heaven and earth, and gave His life for rotten, fallen man. And God is still extending the hand of mercy to us today. And I'm thankful for that. Not any good that I've done. Not any good that I could do. Sometimes we may get to thinking we're pretty good, but I'll tell you something, you better think again. You better sit down and take a different look. Take another inventory, because I'm going to tell you something. We're not good. The best we can do is not good. Listen, God's not merciful to us because we deserve it. Nobody. There's not a person on the face of the earth, nor has there ever been, that deserved the mercy of God and the grace of God. There is none of us. Never has been. I talk about my grandparents. They were good people. They were good Christian people. They was dedicated to the service of God. And they taught me so much. And I look at them and I think, I don't know if there was two better people on the face of the earth. I really don't. But I'm going to tell you something. They didn't deserve God's mercy. They never did anything that was good enough to warrant the grace and the mercy of God. I'm glad for His mercy today, because I couldn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. I couldn't buy it. And I tell you, if I could buy it, I couldn't afford it. I'm thankful for His mercy. It's not because of anything that I did. It's just simply because of the love that God has for this world, that He shows us this mercy. Isaiah chapter 64, I think verse 6, He said, our righteousness, it's just filthy rags. There's nothing that we can do. Sometimes we may look at ourselves and say, well, you're not such a bad person. But I want to tell you something, we are. We are bad persons. Except for the grace of God, we're saved by His mercy and His grace. But I tell you, aside from the love and the mercy of God, there's nothing to what you see standing here tonight. If I was being weighed for my righteousness, I'd be found wanting. I'd be just like Nebuchadnezzar. I'd be placed in the balance, or Belshazzar, whichever one it was. He said he'd been placed in the balance, and he found wanting. God put that king in one side of the balance and put all his righteousness in the other side, and it just did not balance out. And I'll tell you something, mine wouldn't either. Oh, if you put my righteousness on a scale opposite of me, I'd be in so much trouble. I would be so bad and so wrong, and I'd probably be destroyed. But because of God's mercy and grace, that's never going to happen. Because God knows that I wouldn't balance the scale out right. So He sent Jesus to balance the scale. Oh, I'm so thankful for my Savior tonight. I'm thankful for the one that came and died on Calvary, that I might have life and have it more abundantly. He looks at my shortcomings. I'm sure that He looks at me like I have my children before. They do something, I look at them and just shake my head. What makes you act like that? What is it that makes you do that? I don't know. My kids, their favorite answer when I'd ask them a question was, I don't know. And that's what I am when I come to God sometimes. And He said, why'd you do that? I said, I don't know. I couldn't help myself. But listen, I want to tell you something. Thankful to the mercy and the grace of God. He said, well, it's okay. I'll take care of it. Listen, God is merciful. My wife sung that song. I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to love Him and praise Him for. He's been so good to me. I tell you, He's been better to me than He has anybody in the world. No doubt in my mind. I tell you something, I didn't deserve any of it. I was born into a Christian home. I didn't deserve that. I did not deserve it, but God was merciful. Maybe He knew I needed that. Some of you in here wasn't born into Christian homes. And you didn't deserve that, maybe. But you know something? Maybe God looked at me and said, He needs this worse than they did. I don't know. But I want to tell you something. It don't matter if you was born in a Christian home or not, the thing about it is God will extend His hand of mercy on you somewhere through your life and cause you to have an opportunity to come to Him and receive Jesus as your Savior. His mercy is the same for everybody. I look through the congregation tonight, as far as I know, everybody here is born in the United States. Miss Sandy might not have been. She's born in Japan, I think, because her daddy was in the military. But she's in the United States now. You know, we live in the greatest country on the face of the earth, no doubt. Did we deserve that? No, we did not. We did nothing to deserve that. It's just God's mercy. That's all it is. It's just the merciful hand of God that reached down and caused me to be born in the United States of America. And He did me one better than that. I was born in the South. Mm-hmm. You see, I like that a lot better than being born in the North. I ain't got nothing against Northern folks. Except they're not as smart as we are somehow or another. Who's born in the North? Oh, Miss Kathy, yeah, she... Well, that was the East. That wasn't the North, that was the East. I've been to Baltimore, I know where it's at. It's east of here. And God's just been good to us. And even Miss Kathy, she was born in Baltimore. Oh, well, but you see, God's mercy. My wife, a while ago, she was testifying and she's talking about different ones, how they've been blessed. She didn't say anything about the day that God brought me up on her front porch. Wonder why she skipped that. Just God's mercy. God's blessing to me. But you see, I've heard some of the testimony and how that Miss Kathy was out in her convertible and Brother Bob was out in his convertible and they ran into each other. Listen, that's the mercy of God. We don't think about things like this. But the merciful hand of God brought you to your mate, that brought you to a better life, that brought you to, caused you to be able to find Jesus. It's all the mercy and the grace of God. That's all that any of it is. None of us deserved anything that we've got, and yet we're the most blessed people in the world. And I'm telling you something, I just thank God for His mercy. Has God ever done anything for me because I deserve it? No. If He did what I deserved, it wouldn't be nothing like what you've seen. I tell you, if I got what I deserved, I tell you, I'd be in hell tonight. Yeah. It wouldn't be any place else for me, and hell probably wouldn't be bad enough. But I'm telling you, I'm thankful that God's hand of mercy reached down for me. I say this all the time. I didn't know that I was lost. I didn't know that I needed to be saved. I didn't know I needed anything, but Jesus did, and He came to where I was because I didn't know how to get to Him. Preached this morning, Zacchaeus. Jesus said, make haste, come down. I remember the night Jesus came to me. I told my mama, I said, I need to go. I need to go now and pray at that altar. And she had two babies in her arms, and she said, tell your grandma. And I reached up and leaned over the seat and told my mama, I need to go pray. And she got a hold of me and practically drugged me down that aisle. We made haste going to Jesus. Listen, I want to tell you something. That's the way we need to come tonight. When Jesus calls, we need to make haste to do what He says to do. Jonah didn't. Down there in the belly of a whale, 3 days and 3 nights in misery. But you know what it did? Caused old Jonah to start praying. Listen, when you get in trouble with God, it'll cause you to start praying. You may say, I'm not ever talking to God again. Listen, He's got a way of changing your mind about that. He will make you talk to Him. My kids, I don't know. I don't think I ever done my parents like that. Sometimes our kids, they kind of get miffed or something, and they think they ain't never gonna talk to you again. They get hungry, they'll start talking. When they get barefooted, they'll talk. I'll tell you something. And God's the same way. You can walk off from God and say, I'm not having nothing else to do with you. And He'll say, we'll see about that. When you get hungry, you'll talk to me. When you need a blessing, you'll talk to me. When you don't have electricity in the house, you'll talk to me. When you have needs arise in your life, you'll start talking to me. Listen, and Jonah was probably the same way. God said, go to Nineveh, and he run down, bought a ticket to Tarshish, and got on that ship and went down inside and said, I ain't talking to God no more. Guess what? About a day into that ship, that fish ride, he was talking to God. Lord, if you'll let me out of here, I'll go to Nineveh. I mean, that's what you want me to do. And if you'll let me out of here, man, I got this covered. I know exactly what I'm going to say when I get there. And he prayed for 3 days, 3 nights. And then God wheeled that fish up close to the beach and vomited out Jonah. And he hit the ground. I believe he hit the ground running. I think he probably dipped in the ocean for an hour or two to try to get all the filth and the nastiness off of him. And then he hit the beach, and I'm telling you something, he was moving on. The Bible said he went into Nineveh doing what God told him to do. Listen, it was the merciful hand of God that brought him there. Jonah went into the Bible said Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. And Jonah went into the city a day's journey. Preachers used to preach that it's a 3 day journey to Nineveh, and Jonah made it in a day. No, it's 3 days across the city of Jonah, and Jonah went a day across it, and then he preached. He said, repent. And the king put all the livestock in sackcloth and ashes. Told everybody, don't eat nothing, don't drink nothing, get sackcloth and ashes. And the king got on sackcloth and ashes. And they said, we'll repent and maybe God will have mercy on us. And so the city of Nineveh, the whole city repented because of Jonah's preaching. And as far as I know, he didn't preach a very long message. Repent. And they did. And then Jonah kind of got mad. Got upset with God because God didn't. He said, I knew you wasn't going to do what you said. And God said, why should I not show mercy on these people? Why should I not show mercy on them? When you was in the whale's belly, you wanted me to show mercy on you. Why is it tonight, church, that we look around and we say, I want God's mercy, but you don't deserve it? Why is it that we're the only people in the world on the face of the earth that we think deserves the mercy of God? Jonah wanted mercy to get out of that whale's belly, but he didn't want Nineveh to have mercy and God not destroy them. That's stinking thinking. That's what I call that. We need to be merciful. God is merciful. I tell you, we need to realize that there's nobody that deserves mercy any less than I did. And the same God that was merciful to me and to you will be merciful to all those around about us. And we need to pray for them for that mercy. We need to pray that God will have mercy on them. I tell you, God is a merciful God tonight, church. For God so loved this world. Why did He love this world? Why did He love a world full of people that was never going to do what He said to do? But He still does. He created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and He knew they was going to sin when He put them in there. And they did. They didn't prove Him wrong. And they've been doing that ever since. Paul said, by the sin of one man, death came into the world. And by the righteousness and the goodness of one man, death taken away. By the first man, Adam, we all die. By the second man, Adam, we all live. I'm glad for the mercy of God tonight. I don't deserve it. I've never deserved it. Do you know something? That's why all the more that when we receive the merciful hand of God, we should look up and say, God, thank you for your mercy. I sure didn't deserve that. When I sat down at the table and spread of food, I didn't deserve that. I did not deserve that. My wife cooked me a wonderful supper last night. And I just sat there and I thought, I do not deserve to have this. There's so many people that don't have. But you see, it's the mercy and the love of God. And when I say the blessing, I thank God for what He's given me. I'm honest. I'm serious. I just thank God every day for what He does for me. I've never been barefooted. Always had shoes on my feet. Sometimes they might not be the best looking shoes. Sometimes they might not be what I want, but I've always had something to cover my feet. I've always had a bed to sleep in. I've always had a table to eat off of. I've always had food on that table. I tell you, God is just so merciful. So, so merciful. I've always had a church where I could attend and where I could worship with Christian people, and where that I could feel the presence of God, and where that I could experience the love of God from other people. And I don't deserve that. I really don't, but God has been so merciful to me. I tell you what, I don't deserve anything. I don't know what to say to get that point across. I don't deserve nothing, but I got everything. I'm not the richest man in the world in money. But I tell you, God has blessed me tremendously with everything. Well, why do I need money when I got everything I need? I mean, that you know, people thank God for blessings, and most of the time it's God filled my pocket full of money. That's not the only blessing there is. You can't buy health. You can't buy happiness. You can't buy peace. You can't buy joy. You can't buy the fellowship of God's people. You can't buy salvation. There's so many things that you cannot buy with money. But God gives us all those things because of His mercy. Oh, I'm so grateful for the merciful hand of God that reaches down, that extends down to this old world that we live in. God was merciful to the high priest and all those people over there in Jerusalem that crucified His Son. He was in Pilate's hall, and they was all outside the gate hollering, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" Pilate said, "Why? I can find no fault in Him." They said, "Just crucify Him! Just crucify Him!" What did He ever do? He showed us too much mercy. He opened blinded eyes. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He touched the lepers. That's what He done. He was just so merciful. We need to get rid of Him. Boy, talk about bad thinking. And so Pilate finally said, "Okay, there's a law that you have, or a custom, that I release a prisoner. Do you want Jesus or Barabbas?" They said, "Give us Barabbas." And he said, "What do you want to do with Jesus?" "Crucify Him. Crucify Him." What if you was God and you sitting up on your throne in heaven listening to this? "I send my only begotten Son into this world to take care of them folks, and all they want to do is kill Him. They want a prisoner, a murderer, and a man guilty of insurrection released to them, Barabbas, and they're going to crucify my Son." How could you still extend mercy to a world like that? And they took Jesus to Calvary, and they nailed Him to an old rugged cross. And I believe the thing that sealed it all was when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They have not a clue what they're doing." And I imagine it was still hard for God. I think when darkness covered the land, I thank God actually turned His back. I really do. And Jesus hanging there dying between heaven and earth, and God still having mercy. He could have destroyed every one of those with just a simple thought. But he didn't. He had mercy. When Stephen was stoned to death, he knelt down. The people hitting him with stones. And old Stephen looked up and said, "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." And he said, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." Listen, God could have destroyed every one of those people, but Stephen prayed for them. Listen, if Stephen could pray for people while they're killing him, why can't we pray for people for a whole lot less than that? But we're just not there yet. We need to show mercy where mercy's shown to us. Jesus, when the disciples said, "Teach us how to pray," he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And he went on and he said, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us." Do you realize that if you're only forgiven as you forgive others, we probably don't have a whole lot of forgiveness. We're just not merciful. But God is. God in all His mercy loves us. I tell you, I'm so grateful and so thankful for what God has done for me. This is the message God's laid on my heart tonight. I just thank Him for His mercy and His grace.
Amen.
And His tender loving care that He shows to me every day. Oh, He's so good to me. While they come tonight and get us a song, Father, we thank You for giving us another privilege to stand. Lord, I thank You for the health and strength. And thank You, Lord, tonight for touching our throat. Lord, I thank You, Father, for the message. God, I just ask You to help me be more merciful to people. God, as You are to me. Lord, I ask You, Father, tonight that You just be with us. Bless our church. Lord, help us tonight. Father, You know what we need. God, I don't, but You do. Lord, I just ask You, Father, to help us. That, Lord, that we would just receive the things that You have for us. God, touch hearts. God, just cause each one of us, every one of us, to be more thankful than we are. Cause each one of us to just lift up Your name more than we do. Cause each one of us to grow closer to You with every passing day. God, cause us all to have a closer walk with the Lord. Be with us tonight. Now, Father, I pray. God, we just ask You to bless an invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. You need something from God tonight, whether it's salvation, forgiveness. You need more mercy. You need God's tender care. Whatever you need, why don't you come tonight and ask for it while we sing a song, a verse or two of an invitation song while we stand.
Remember, all American.